It's late afternoon as we enter the small house halfway up in the next block now. And here in the living room, we find Mr. and Mrs. Victor Brooks. Vic, newly arrived home from the office, entertains his wife with an account of important doings in the bustling world of business. Let's listen along with her.
See, I very seldom go in the 10-cent store. I don't suppose I've been in a 10-cent store twice in 3 years. But I needed a pair of shoestrings, and I thought the 10-cent store was as good a place as any to fix them up. When I told the young lady clerk my wishes, she asked me if I was speaking it with a Norwegian bird.
Seems to me she got personal awful quick.
Oh, I can find it in my heart to forgive impulsiveness in a pretty girl.
I thought it was German people talked with a bird.
Well, Germany and Norway aren't so far apart. Very likely they both talk with birds.
I'd consider it pushy, the clerk making personal remarks.
On the contrary, I was pleased.
Oh.
It seems to me that she was showing bright, vivacious curiosity. I'd like a pair of brown shoestrings, I said. Are you speaking with a Norwegian bird, she inquired. I couldn't help smiling at her youthful display of dimples, the air of childish innocence with which she
phrased
her simple question. She smiled to see me smiling.
You really?
She must have a sharp ear to discern the bird in my voice. It conjures up the fjords and trackless miles of fir trees.
You're not Norwegian.
Well, who knows but what in the misty murk of antiquity, hardy forefathers of mine voyaging in the Baltic Sea.
Hi, Ralph. Never knew you were home.
Why, it's Rush, Sadie. It's Rush. Hello, Rush.
Hello.
I've never seen you so beautiful.
You feel pretty jolly.
Yes, indeed.
Bluetooth called a while ago.
Attempting to get in touch with me by telephone, I expect.
Yeah.
Good old dependable Bluetooth Jansen. All he's doing is level best to get in touch with me by telephone. You told him I was absent for the moment?
Uh-huh.
I was absent at the moment one time myself. My sweetheart was a woman named Grace, and I loved her dearly. Grace, I used to croon, how about popping some popcorn? Grace would fling back her mane of tawny hair.
I got some news, girl, if you'll listen to me. Mom, I got a job.
Yeah?
I'm going to usher this evening in the Bijou Theater.
Really?
It's all arranged. I go to work at 7 o'clock and I'm due at 11:15.
Just tonight?
Yeah, I'm substituting for Sam Healy.
Well, how much spondulus will you earn?
$1.80.
Oh.
Mm-hmm, that's a fact.
Right.
Well, $1.80 sounds like a lot of money, but in this day and age, a person can run through it pretty quick.
I went through $1.80 pretty quick one time. Everybody said I was scared. But I put on my running shoes and my trim little jersey sweater, and all the white lift and trembling.
What you gonna do, Willie?
Telephone.
Bluetooth ain't home. He said to tell you not to bother, call back.
No, it's Smelly Clark I wish to get in touch with.
Oh.
Say, dear honey, what is it we is happen for super?
Is that your Norwegian bird?
Yes. 6498W, please. $1.80 ain't the only thing I'm gonna get off this ushering job.
No?
No, it gives me the opportunity of returning favors and also paying off friendly obligations, which I... Hello, Mrs. Clark? Russ Cook, Mrs. Clark. Is Alvin there? Oh, if you please. He's in the kitchen pouring lukewarm water over his head.
Smelly is a lad who knows how to improve his leisure hours.
Smelly Clark is an A number one, typical, high-class, extra-special, average, all-around American boy. Gets a great kick out of life.
I got a great kick out of life one time. I was traveling cross-country from Shenandoah, Iowa, to Hannibal, Missouri. A beautiful woman, heavily veiled and deeply agitated, tapped me on the shoulder.
Hello there, Smelly. Yeah. Yeah, your mother was telling me. I expect you feel pretty damp and refreshed now, huh? Uh-huh. Say, Smelly, how'd you like to be my guest at the Bijou this evening? Sure. No, I'm ushering down there. Substituting for Sam. Really? Yeah. Okay, fine. Consider yourself my guest.
A-K-K like beefsteak for super.
Did you buy your shoestrings, or did you walk out of the 10-cent store in a daze and forget them?
Fine, Smelly. We're all set, then. Which performance do you wish to witness? Uh-huh. All right, then, here's what you do. Skulk up the alley and hide in the darkness right beside the second exit. I'll open the door to let in fresh air, and that'll be your chance. Yeah. Not at all, Smelly, not at all. Certainly hope you enjoy the performance. You bet, Smelly. All right, Smelly. Goodbye.
He's going to sneak in?
Well, he's going to be my guest.
Yeah, but I heard you tell him to skulk up the alley.
Well, naturally, I can't invite him to come in the main entrance.
Why not?
Well, various Vigil Picture employees would ask him embarrassing questions about his ticket.
Oh.
Various Vigil employees would ask him questions about his ticket.
Likely, manager Fullerman is the joker most to be feared.
Mm-hmm. He can be depended upon to throw at least a half dozen people out of every performance on the sidewalk.
Yeah, I know something about Mr. Fullerman. Lucy tells me stories. He only lives 2 doors apart. He's a very strong-minded man. For one thing, he's never seen an airplane.
How come?
Just never bothered to glance up when one flew past. I mind my own business, he tells people that act surprised. And when he got married, instead of kissing the bride, he left the bride kiss him. Removed his derby hat with one hand, took his cigar out of his mouth with the other, and thrust out his jaw. Lucille, that's his wife. Give him a nice snack.
He got married smoking a cigar and wearing his hat?
That don't sound quite right, does it? Well, I expect I got my stories mixed, but anyhow, it was Lucille down the kitchen. Oh, and at meals, he eats one thing at a time. Well, say, Lucille, give him round steak, mashed potatoes, and carrots. All right, he'll eat his round steak, and then his mashed potatoes, and then his carrots. Most people take a bite of one thing, then another, kind of mix stuff around. But not Mr. Fulberman. He cleans each item up separate. And then when he's through, he takes his knife and fork, wipes them careful with his napkin, and puts them in a special leather case he carries in his pocket. Then he walks out in the backyard, lays down flat on his back on the ground, and has a little nap.
And you afraid he'll see an airplane?
How long are you going to call up?
All right now.
Huh?
224L, please. 2242L, please. Correct.
What's on at the show?
Gloria Gordon. Hello, Mrs. Snow. Oh, hello, Grandma. This is Russ Cook, Grandma. Is Leah around? Will you please?
Did they still run that show they had last week? Tender Love and Sweet Romance and Buffalo, New York City?
No, this is a different one.
Still got Gloria Gordon in it, though.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What's the title?
Love and... My love has turned to hate, Colonel Stoker. It's all about the French Foreign Legion. Gloria Gordon plays the part of... Hello, Leroy? Russ Cook, Leroy. What's he brought on for this evening, Leroy? Uh-huh. Well, I was wondering how you'd like to be my guest at the Vigil. No, I'm ushering you. Yeah. Fine. Okay, you're skulking in the darkness at the second exit at 8:30. Yeah. Not at all, old fella. Only too glad to do it. Goodbye, Leroy.
Looks like the Vigil will be able to boast of a bumper turnout this evening.
Yes, indeed.
The management may be somewhat puzzled, though, when they count their meager receipts and then reflect on the overflow crowd. They'll be bewildered by...
Can I speak to you, please?
Now who are you going to invite?
Milton Welch. He's done me several nice favors recently.
If he gets apprehended by the police and thrown in prison for sneaking into the movies, he'll probably regret...
Hello, Milton. Rush Milton. Fine, thanks. Yourself? Delighted to hear it. Say, Milton, I'm ushering at the Bajo this evening, and would be shocked to have you witness the performance as my guest. Not at all. Gloria Gordon and Love has turned to hate, Colonel Stoker. It's supposed to be very good. Fine. Well, be just exactly like you do every time you sneak in the show. Yeah. Well, I'll be on hand to open the door, and you won't be taking any chances. Sure. Fine, then, Milton. No, the second exit. Yeah. Okay, Milton. You bet, Milton. Goodbye. See, I not only amass $1.80 on this job, but it also gives me the opportunity to return favors.
Mm-hmm.
The individuals I'm telephoning will be very grateful for my thoughtful courtesy.
Mm-hmm. Attending a theater as your guest is a great deal like attending a banquet as somebody's guest, where you're obliged to hide under the table and catch what morsels of food happen to fall on the floor.
No.
Any chance of those boys getting caught?
Just enough chance to make it exciting. You know yourself it's pretty dull to step up to the window and purchase a ticket.
Oh, sure.
This way there's an element of spicy adventure. Who knows when the heavy hands get a rest on your coat collar?
Yeah.
Just exactly what is the procedure?
Very simple. As official usher, it's my professional privilege to step to the exit and admit a little fresh air.
Mm-hmm.
While the doors ajar, my guests come crawling in on their hands and knees.
On their hands and knees?
Mm-hmm. Well, if he stood up, he might get spotted by Mr. Furberman and tossed out violently onto the concrete.
Oh.
I believe I'll invite Heine Call.
Hmm.
8629L, please. Yes. Heine enjoys moving pictures. Darn it, I should have told them other fellas to wear old clothes tonight. There's a puddle of water right by the second exit. Individual crawls around in water and... Hello, Heine? Russ Heine. What you doing this evening, fella? Well, look, you might guess it's a Bijo. No fooling. A mushroom. Sure. Who? Bring him along. Sure, perfectly all right. Oh, by the way, Heine, you better wear old clothes. Yeah. Well, there's a puddle of water right at the second exit. Uh-huh. Not at all, old fella. Hope you enjoy the picture. Okay, Heine. Goodbye.
Heine bringing a party of friends?
Yeah, Joe Peterman and Larson at Gruff.
Generous of you to invite them all.
Oh, well.
Well, what was that about puddles of water and wearing old clothes?
Well, I noticed this afternoon quite a sizable puddle by the second exit. And that's where my guests will sneak in. They wouldn't want to get their good clothes all wet.
Well, I should think they'd just get their shoes wet.
No, they've got to crawl.
Crawl
along the alley?
Sure.
Are they stomach?
Of course.
Oh, well, my, nice. That isn't a wonderful invitation. Mm-hmm. Come, be my guest. It's your show. All you got to do is crawl along the alley on your stomach.
An alley full of water?
Yeah, an alley full of water.
Guess I'll invite Merton Summers. Merton's a good fellow, and we'll enjoy a little recreation. 6293, correct.
Horseshoe Nail, after crawling through a wet alley on your stomach, ain't it a little uncomfortable to sit through a show?
Makes it all the more adventurous. Mm. Oh, by George. Hello, Merton. Nice to look, Merton. Say, if you're not especially busy tonight, I'd like to have you be my guest at the Bijo. I'm ushering down there. Yeah. Okay, fine. Be up the alley at the second exit at 8:30. Yeah. Good. Oh, and Merton, wear old clothes. Yeah. Who? Your grandmother? Bring her along. All right then, Merton. See you at 8:30. You bet. Goodbye.
He's going to bring his grandmother?
I doubt it. She probably wouldn't be interested in crawling along a wet alley on her stomach.
No.
Well, let's see now. Who all have I invited?
Millie Clark and Leroy Snow.
Well, Connie Call.
And Heine's three pals.
That's seven, and Merton Summers makes eight.
Don't forget Merton's grandma.
My daughter should be interested. Mm. An elderly lady that way probably doesn't care for crawling along wet alleys on her stomach.
No.
Oh, I'll have quite a crowd skulking here in the darkness tonight.
Yes, indeed.
Due to my warm heart, they'll all have the privilege of witnessing Gloria Golden and lovers turn to hate Colonel Stoker.
Uh-huh.
I'll get the reputation around town for being a very generous fellow.
No, no doubt about it.
Would you folks care to be my guest?
I've made other arrangements for this evening.
Ma?
Be your guest at the Bijo? No, thanks.
Tell me Gloria Golden renders a bang-up performance.
I'm sure she does, but I believe I'll decline.
Well, I guess I'll invite Mildred Tisdall, Genevieve Tyler, Eunice Raypool, Carolyn Perkins, Esther Feldman, and Dorothy Ann Williamson.
Which concludes another brief interlude at the small house halfway up in the next block. By Yamilton's Department Store, Crooper, Illinois. Rush rehearse a bouquet of beautiful songs they plan to render in church as a father and son duet.